with me. You know, sometimes you just want someone to agree with you. So fill that out, and then we're going to share prayer requests and prayer praises on Sundays to stir us up, excite us, and lift us up. So please do that. They're in front of you whenever. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, you're awesome, wonderful, terrific, and above everything I can imagine. And I thank you that you are our Father, and you have been faithful in your love and your goodness and your kindness, that you sent Jesus to die for us and rescue us and give us a great plan and a hope and a future. So today, Father, I ask that you enlighten us, you open our eyes, open our hearts to see all that we are called to be. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Point to your neighbor and say, open your eyes. Yeah. So we've been doing a series. It's called You Are Incredible. And I guess you kind of figured out there's no incredible me without an incredible he. Amen. Amen. If you don't know that, you'll find out real fast, right? And, you know, a lot of times we know that. We know some of you have been born again just for eons, and you've heard this and you know this. But I tell you what, knowing it many times will not transform your life until you do it. Be ye doers of word and not hearers only. So I'm going to share some stuff. Some of you can get up here and preach it better than me. Okay? But knowing it and telling somebody and then applying it in your life is a whole new story. So that's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So if you've heard this message before, write it down and let's put it to action, all right? Or share it with somebody. So praise God. The whole series is based, well, I got the Brainiac idea from this movie called The Incredibles. There's actually now Incredibles 2, and if you wait another couple years, I'm sure they'll do 3, 4, and 5, because that's what they do with movies and stuff. But it's cute, and it's really cute. And in week number one, we said, sometimes we are not so incredible. Don't tell anybody, but some days I am not so incredible. And, you know, the Apostle Paul said the same thing, so I don't feel so bad. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said this. He says, I want to do what's right. I really want to do what's right. But sometimes I do some things that are not right or wrong. So week number one, we talked about that yes, I have received Jesus into my life, and I am incredible, but there's some days I'm not so, and how do I walk in victory and all that great stuff. So get week number one. Week number two was, let me see what week number two was. Week number two was, oh, you know, in the movie, there's this guy called Frozone, and Frozen comes in all excited, and he goes to his wife, hey, where's my super suit? And that's what we talked about. Inside of you, the day you receive Jesus, you have a super suit inside of you. Okay, it's inside of you. Good thing you don't have to put on spandex, you know, and go flying around. So we talked about what's on the inside of you, all right? And last week we talked about we have a super status, which really translates into you, because of Jesus and receiving him, can come boldly into the throne of God. You have a right standing. You are just terrific because of all of that. So we talked about right standing and who you are. So if you missed week one, week two, week three, go listen to it online, or you can get a free CD. You fill out the envelopes in front of you. So today is week four. Next week we'll finish up. Can you put up that picture? Thank you. So some of you are young enough to remember S&H stamps. Some of you that are too young, you can look it up later. Anybody remember S&H green stamps? I asked Emily. She's like, no, it's before my time. Okay. S&H green stamps or S&H stamps, they started in 1936 and it finished out in the 80s. And this is how it went, in case you don't know. You'd go to the grocery store and you get these little tiny stamps depending on how much you spent at the grocery store. And then you take those stamps home and you would put them in these books. You'd lick them. Oh my gosh. You lick them. And you know, the funny part, my mom had stacks of empty books and stacks of stamps. And every once in a while, she said, everybody to the kitchen table. And you know, we had water and sponges. It was just easier than that. So we'd start sticking the stamps in the book. Okay. Then Some of you might remember this. What happens when you fill up enough books? You go to the store, the redemption store. You go to this special store. And I was trying to remember, where was that in York? There are a couple of them. You missed it, you babies. You babies, you don't know what we're talking about. Okay, so you take these filled books and you'd go to this store and you would redeem your books that were filled for merchandise. I, to this day, which I haven't used, I have this electric hand trimmer. I got it from my S&H Green Stamps. And I think I bought a clock. And if you had enough of those books, you could buy a TV or get a TV. You really bought it, but you could get a TV, okay? So, so cute. So what we're doing, you were doing is you were redeeming these stamps, these books for merchandise, okay? Now, in movie number two, the Incredibles are all about redemption. They want redemption. They want everybody to know that they're superheroes. Okay, so, excuse me, fooey on the superheroes. Jesus came to redeem you. And it wasn't with stamps. Okay? Jesus came to redeem you and me. Okay? And you know, I'm thinking about my mom making us lick all those stamps. And she would take them and redeem them. But Jesus came to earth. Think about that. Jesus came to earth. Wasn't licking no stamps. He came to earth. He died on a cross. Just an incredible song we sang today. Died on a cross. He went to hell. Some people don't believe that, but whatever. Look, read your Bible. It's in the Bible. Okay, went to hell, and then he was seated at the right hand of the Father, and it was a finished deal. And some of you go, woohoo, that's so nice. Thank you, Jesus. But listen, guys, we need to understand really what that was about, because it'll change the way you live today and tomorrow and the rest of the day. So I want to talk about redemption, and I'd love to say I'm only going to do a couple of scriptures, but you know, I always have a minimum of 10. So write them down, look them up, you'll have fun, okay? So start off, let's turn over to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. While you're getting to Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the number one reason why Jesus came, left heaven, came to die on a cross was to redeem us. Number one reason. Now, a lot of cool things happen, but the number one reason is to redeem you and I. Okay, you all at Mark chapter 10? Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. That word ransom in the New Testament is also translated as redeemed. All through, they just use them interchangeably. So it'll say ransom or redeem. So we can say this, Jesus gave his life to redeem many. To redeem many. Point to your neighbor and say, you are part of that many. You are part of that many. Okay, so think about your neighbor, that one that is, oh man, just a delight. Sarcasm here. Jesus came to redeem them. And you're like, hurry up. No, he came already to redeem them. How about think about the worst person in the world that you can think of. And right away, my head goes to Hitler because I grew up in that history age and stuff like that. And Jesus redeemed Hitler 2,000 years ago. But he didn't know that. He didn't receive that because it would have changed his life and would have changed history. Okay? So Jesus did that. For your neighbor, Jesus did that for your aunt and uncle. Jesus did that for Grammy and Grandpa. Jesus did that for the worst person. Jesus redeemed them 2,000 years ago. Okay? Jesus redeemed many. And I like to say all. Jesus redeemed many. Write that down. That's good stuff. It's a post-it note for tomorrow on the refrigerator. Okay? So, though if you are taking notes, this is my main idea, and it really, I couldn't get it small, so just listen, here we go. We're talking about being ransomed, being redeemed by Jesus. He has done this, but listen to this. It's not so much what you have been, It's not so much what you have been redeemed from as much as what you've been redeemed to. Amen. Write it down. It'll explode like the fireworks in a little bit. Okay, so it's not so much what you've been redeemed from. And let me tell you, it's important what we've been redeemed from. But what's even more important in how you live this life the way God planned it is to know what you've been redeemed to. Coffee. Anybody need coffee? You're just so quiet today. Praise God. All righty. So, question. Just thought provoker. Ready? Here we go. Do you think Jesus redeemed you just to slip you into heaven?
No.
Do you think maybe he redeemed you so that, you know, so heaven's amazing, but while you're here, not much? No, he didn't. Okay, good. You got 10 points on your test. All right, open up to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Now, I can't remember when this song came out. Time's a blur when you get young like this, okay? But we used to sing the song, say so, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. I think Israel wrote, came out and sang that. But anyway, this scripture, or excuse me, that song is from this scripture. Some of you know this, but let's look at it. Here you go. It says, Psalm 107, verse 2. Write that down if you don't have a Bible. Anyway, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Okay, a better way is to say, let the redeemed say, I'm redeemed. It's really how you should be reading that. So cross it off and stick it in your Bible the right way, all right? That's the way it should be said. Let the redeemed say they're redeemed. And then it says, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Well, trouble comes in all different packages, sizes and smells and bells, doesn't it, all right? But what we're supposed to do is say something. Look, right? Look at that scripture. Say something, okay? By the way, if you're new to church or to some of this stuff, the whole gospel that we believe in, this whole thing about Jesus, has to do with say something. There has to be a say something, okay? Okay, you have to say something. That's just the way it works. Praise God. So the Bible says, ready? Romans 10:9-10. If you believe in your heart and say something or confess something, you will be saved. Right? So what do you have to do? You have to say something. Okay? Now, if you don't say something, nothing's happening. It just works that way. It's just the way it is. Okay. So if you've been redeemed, that simply means I have asked Jesus into my life. I remember doing that, by the way. So I asked Jesus into my life. I said, Jesus, I'm a mess. That's what I said. He already knew it. Come into my life. And at that moment, I became the redeemed. Anybody become the redeemed? But you had to say so. You had to say so. Okay. So. Now, in case you don't know, words are super amazing, ridiculously important in the Bible. They really are. Open up to Proverbs 18:21. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, but you open up to this, all right? Because sometimes, you know what happens? I know this in the New King James. I can say it and do cartwheels. No, I don't. I don't cartwheels anymore. I can do somersaults still, okay? I can say it. I just know it. But listen to this out of this translation. It'll just... What's my friend say? It'll jerk the slack out of you. Okay? So sometimes I deliberately pick out different translations just for this reason. Okay? So here we are. Proverbs 18. This is talking about how important words are out of the Message Bible. Proverbs 18:21. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Words, guys, words, okay? So we're talking about we've been redeemed, but we need to say I've been redeemed, okay? Jesus says later on, let me get my scripture, don't muff it up. He says, for every idle word or careless word, you'll be judged. I think we just better figure out words are important. And maybe, just maybe, you are stuck in your seatbelt, in your car, in your life because of some of the words you say. So we're going to talk about words. But for starters, we need to say, everybody say, I've been redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise God. It's so good. So good. All right. So that's just a teaser to get you started. Turn over to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. But Christ in the New Living says rescued us. But what is that? That also says redeemed us. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law. Or King James would say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Anybody know that? Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Okay? Now, if you're not familiar with the curse, it's not F-bombs. It's not what he's talking about. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And there's a list. Okay, actually, the first one, Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 1 through 14, talks about the blessings. And if you've been around this place, we usually a lot of times end with this. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Everything I set my hand to, I'm blessed. It goes through these blessings. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. So, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, Lord, I think I'm lost, but I'm blessed because you know where I am, in or out. Just terrific. So the first part talks about the blessings. The second part, starting around 15 to verse 28, like a whole lot, are curses. And I said, it's not the F-bomb. They're curses. Okay, so what are the curses? All right, this is what the curses sound like. Ready? You're cursed in the field. You're cursed in the basket. You're cursed in your storehouse. You're cursed, you're cursed, you're cursed. Guys, in case you didn't know, curses aren't good. All right, they're the bad things, right? They're bad things. But listen, Jesus came to redeem you from that whole list of curses. All right? And he redeemed you to verse 14. Praise God. So it's really important we understand what we're redeemed from and what we're redeemed to. Now, you might never have this, but I have people come up to me and argue with me and get ticked off with me. Yeah, right. Yeah. When I start telling them what Jesus has redeemed them from and what he's redeemed them to, they want to argue, and I'm like, are you off your rocker? But I don't say that. Because I am smarter than the fifth grader now. A little more self-control in my mouth. But I am thinking, you want that? Okay, so they obviously don't have an understanding. They've got junk in their head, all right? So I will tell you, I know where I was, and I knew when the lights went off, when I found out what Jesus redeemed me from and what he redeemed me to. I was in Bob Daniels' Bible study at Faith Christian Fellowship, and the first 3 months it went over my head. And one day I found out what I was redeemed from because of Jesus and what I was redeemed to, and I wasn't going back to the cursed life. I just was like, Jack, we're all in. And I'm still all in. He's all in up there. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to say something. Don't freak out yet. Just let me explain it. Okay, here we go. You have been redeemed from, but you will always be fighting for what you're redeemed to. What? You have been redeemed, what you've been redeemed from, there'll be so many times in your life you will have to fight for what you're redeemed to, because the things in this life look opposite of what you're redeemed to. Okay, so what you're going to have to do is get into this Bible. Go get that book on scripture confessions. You will have to hide the word in your heart because there's so many things that just hit you. Okay, don't tell Sherry. My kids yell at me all the time. What are you doing, Mom? So I'm out weeding yesterday because we had rain. We had more rain. And I've got this slope, and I'm weeding on it in these old beat-up granny sneakers. Okay? And next thing I know, I yanked this big thing. I did a backflip, landed, and I'm splat. And all I could hear, Nevin was Sherry going, I told you not to do something like that. Okay. All right. I was like, really? What do you mean? Okay. I got up and my ankle was hurting. And I was like, no, wait a minute. I have been redeemed from the curse. Amen. And I've been redeemed too. And we'll get to that at the very end. Okay. But I had to fight. Don't tell Sherry. Okay. There's things in life, guys. Okay. Now, here's another one. Okay. So again, you're going to have to put the word in your heart. You're going to have to put it in your heart, because when things look opposite, you're going to have to say, no, this is what the word says. I'm redeemed too, all right? The worst thing you can do is judge your experiences, judge the stuff that you have in life, your experiences, and chuck out the word of God. Well, this is what happened to me, so rah, rah, rah. And we start saying, then the word of God's not true. The word of God's not true, because look what happened to me. Rah, rah, rah. Okay? So, no, no, no. You got to get your experiences to line up with what? The word of God. Yeah. Because wah, wah, wah doesn't line up. So just want to say that. The word of God never trumps the Bible. Excuse me, your experiences never trump the Bible. I wrote that down. Your experiences never trump the Bible. All right, I just want to go over three things really quick that you have to understand to get redemption. Just real quick. Some of you are going to like, Pastor D, I know that. Uh-huh, we all know that. Ready? Number one, if you're taking notes, there is a devil or an enemy. He's not on our team. He doesn't like you. Nothing personal. Okay? Number two, I know it's really basic. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy out of your life. That's his M.O. It never changed. Jesus' M.O. is to give you life and life more abundantly. Okay? That's Jesus' M.O. Praise God. And listen to this. Write this down. Jesus has already defeated the devil. He has already defeated the devil according to scriptures. Okay, and the last one. The things that you're redeemed from are all caused or from the devil. The things that you're redeemed from all come from the devil, not from God. They all come from the devil, those things, okay? So, doesn't happen in our church. Because we are smarter than the fifth grader and read our Bible more than once, right? But people will come up and say, well, you know, these are the things the Lord did. The Lord put this on me. The Lord did this to me. The Lord had me get in an accident. All right? I hear people say that. Matter of fact, where was I? I heard that. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to tell you who that was. Okay. All right. Or then we get a little spiritual. And we say, he's allowing this in my life for a reason. No. Okay. Okay. Study your Bible. Jesus has already done everything. He has redeemed you from stuff. And he's redeemed you to this side. Okay. Now, God has a part and we have a part. God's part's already done. But we have a part to play. We have a part to play. So the day you understand what I've been redeemed from and redeemed to, and you start walking it, change the way your life goes. Okay? Yeah. So I want to talk about five things that you've been redeemed from and redeemed to. Number one, here we go. We have been redeemed from distance from God. Amen. And we have been redeemed to a relationship with God. Okay, now we used to say it this way, but I just changed it up. We've been redeemed from spiritual death, which simply means we have been redeemed from distance from God. We've been redeemed from distance from God. So if you want to close the distance from God, you say, Jesus, I need you, come into my life, and then you have a relationship. It's closed. Praise God. Turn over to Colossians 2:13. Colossians 2:13. No, where is it? I'll put it up because I don't know where it is. Praise God. Colossians 2:13. And you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcised of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature. God brought you together with Christ. Woohoo! Having freely forgiven us all of our transgressions. Okay? All right, and then let's keep reading. Keep reading. Having canceled out and blotted out and wiped out the handwriting and the note, the bond with its legal decrees and demands, I love the Amplified, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note with its regulations, degrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to the cross. Alrighty. So, in D. Cashman's simple terms, there was a big distance because of sin in our life. Because of what Adam did and we have sin, there was this far, far distance. And when Jesus redeemed us, he brought you into relationship with him. So when you go, well, I just don't feel like God loves me. Read your Bible. The distance has been shut. He always loves you. I just feel like God's so far away. Read your Bible. The distance has been shut. You've been redeemed. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Turn over to Galatians 4:6. Galatians 4:6. Real short. Galatians 4:6. Christ has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, I don't walk around going, Abba, 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 I worship you, okay? I haven't heard too many of you do that, all right? But Abba simply means daddy, intimate relationship, intimate personal relationship. Now, when my kids were growing up, what's the first word most kids go first? Dad, dad. Like, stinker, I do everything. You're going to go, dad, dad, all right? And so my kids called Jack daddy. And then my girls got into, like, I think it was, like, middle school. One of them gave Jack this name, Daddykins. Daddykins, and he'd do anything. He'd empty his pockets. They were so cute. But really what they ended up by calling him was Daddy or Dad, all right? Now, Daddykins, I was like, you are a sucker. You fell for that one. Praise the Lord. Gee whiz, all right. Where am I here? So God says in his words, ready? You are now, when you receive Jesus, you are now a son or a daughter. You're now a child of God. Father God is now your daddy. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He's your dad. Real intimate, real loving, okay? Now, if you've had some bad experience with your natural father, your brain might go to, well, you know, my dad abandoned us. So, you know, that's why God's not moving in my life. You know, he's da 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 da. He's just, I don't feel like he's there. Or maybe your dad, I heard this story, it just hurt my heart. I was talking to a parent about parenting, and their kid was a ringtail tutor. And I said, you just need a little spanking back here. And the man told me how his dad beat him with a belt and left marks. And he was struggling. And that's what, and I said, first off, that's not God. So when you muff up, he's not going to cause all bad things to come on your life. And a little tap on these nice little heinies are great. So I'm still working with this dad, but it was because of his upbringing, all right? But that is not God. He doesn't beat you, cause bad things. That's not his nature. Now, someone will say this to me all the time. Well, Pastor D, didn't you read your Old Testament? Did you see all those things that God did to everybody back there and this and that? Yes, I did. I've read my Old Testament more than once, okay? And listen, that's old covenant. We live in a new covenant. And the Bible says it's a better covenant. And Jesus bore the brunt of all that junk and stuff so that you are redeemed and free. Okay, so good. So good here. So whatever happened in the Old Testament, Jesus did it for, took us for us. All right. So we have been redeemed from a distance to God. We have been redeemed to a close relationship. And it's close. You can get it. You can just have it all the time, but it's up to you. It's a close relationship, all right? Here's number two. You have been redeemed from the curse of sin. S-I-N, all right? And you've been redeemed from freedom from sin, all right? Now, there's a thing in the Bible called the curse of sin. Curse of sin. And it says we've been redeemed from that. Now, I am a believer now for a long time. And I've been free from the curse. Thank you, Jesus. Alrighty. Thank you, Jesus. But listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans 8:2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Woo! I like being in Christ Jesus. Anybody like being in Christ Jesus? Man, my life is so much better. The law, that, and it says, the law of our new being has set you free, released you from the law of sin and death. Romans 6 says, sin no longer has control over you, but you can yield to it, right? But Jesus has set you free. It no longer has control over you the moment you've received Jesus, but you can choose to yield to it, right? All right, so Jesus has set you free. Now, we live in this world, and in case you didn't figure out, it is totally influenced by the enemy. The world is just totally, sin is normal. Things they do out in the world, I'm like, what? And you know why? They've not received Jesus. You know what? They don't even know Jesus, okay? And that's why you'll see just horrific things and things that you're going, are you kidding me? Okay? They don't know Jesus. But guess what? I do. We do. And we need to tell them, or better yet, keep your mouth quiet for the first part. And how about you live as a light? Amen. Live as a light first. And some of you, oh man, I've just heard some great stories about you. Ellen and Jared, I just put my eyes focused on you. They are a light in their neighborhood. They just are pouring into kids. And sometimes I'm thinking, whoa, okay. They're a light. And then you start being the light and then your mouth can come following, okay? I know a lot of you do that, but I was just looking at them, all right? So that last part, it says, so we have been released from the law of sin and death. Everybody say death. Death. Okay. Now, in case you haven't realized it, you are going to die someday. You're going to die. I'm not prophesying, but you're going to die someday. Everybody know that? Okay. Now, so it says, though, we've been redeemed from death. What the what? What is that about? Okay. Now, listen. Let me tell you this first. You are never going to die and be permanently dead. I heard this one kid say, well, you know, you're just like dead like a dog. Like in a box where it's dark. I was like, what? That's not the religion I'm following. Are you kidding me? Okay. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. Not dead in a box like that. Okay. So once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get to go to heaven and eternity in heaven. I got tons of scriptures. Just go read them. Just go look that up. But that is his promise, okay? So, and Jesus said this, you will never die if you know him. And you're like, what? No, because I'm going to heaven for eternity. I had a friend, he used to come here and he'd say, I'm an eternal being. Oh, so I say that. How old are you? I'm eternal. No numbers on that, baby. I'm eternal, okay? Eternal heaven. Live with Jesus. Praise God. All right. I'm going to say that I heard this minister. I had to listen to this CD, yeah, lots and lots of times because it was just not registering. So I'm going to say this to you. Until you overcome your fear of death. And actually, let me back up. That's my brother had passed away, died in a hit and run car accident. Of course, he was stoned out of his mind. So, you know, whatever, that's what. But I came home and I had been raised in a denomination and I came home and I said, God, if you're real, I need to know because of this fear of death. I had fear of death. All of a sudden it kicked me in the face and I cried out to God and within a couple of months, praise God, ta-da, here we are. But anyway, let me read this. It says, until you overcome the fear of death, you'll always fear something. I am going to step on toes, so if you don't like them, tuck them in. Until you overcome the fear of death, you will always fear something. But once you overcome this fear of death, I know where I'm going to have it right now. Okay? Once you overcome them, you will be fearless. I didn't say reckless. You will be fearless in how you live your life. You will no longer fear what people say about you. Which means you'll no longer be insecure. Because I'm like, right? You'll no longer be afraid of snakes and spiders. Right? You'll I knew I'd step on some toes. For crying out loud, you're bigger than a bug. You're like the Goliath, okay? You'll no longer be fear of whatever. Now, I had this friend back in college. She was deathly fearful of elevators. And so one time we just, was a whole gang of us girls, and we just all pushed in, and we didn't know this. And she's like shaking, sweating. And I'm like, what's the matter with you? And she says, I'm afraid of elevators. I'm like, why? Why would you be afraid of elevators? And she said this, because they might fall. And I'm thinking, elevators, you know, 100 times a day, maybe 1,000 times a day, they go up and down and they don't fall, right? And you're afraid? Okay, but let's just suppose, I don't care. I don't fear death. I'm going to heaven. I'm a win-win, right? Getting back to those bugs. You are bigger than a bug. Don't fear them, okay? People. I got ferocious with bugs. Just makes my, I'm like, I run after them. My kids go, Mom, you're such a warrior. Silly. Okay. All right. Listen, but once you no longer fear death, you will no longer fear anything. Okay. The Bible says Jesus took the sting of death. Praise God. The Bible says that Jesus got rid of the fear of death for all of us. All right. So we don't have to fear death when you have made Jesus Lord of your life. I will live eternity in heaven. Well, like win-win, right? Okay. Number three, you are redeemed from the dominion of darkness and you are redeemed to the kingdom of light. You are redeemed from darkness and you are redeemed to the kingdom of light. Some of you know these scriptures. Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us, redeemed us, and has drawn us to himself from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Ephesians says the kingdom of light. There's a couple of other scriptures that say light. So it's saying Jesus, because of Jesus, because he died and because you've asked him, he's taken you out of darkness and put you in light. He has transferred you. I had dear friends and he got transferred to Florida. I was like, you're blessed. That's so cool. It's better than being transferred to Alaska, right? I don't want to live in Alaska. I like snow and stuff, but I was like, but this is a good thing. Praise God. You've been transferred out of darkness, from darkness into light. Alrighty. Now, we live in this world. You woke up, you're still on the planet. You live in this world, right? And we have all kinds of darkness. I said that before. It's just ridiculously out there, okay? But Jesus redeemed you from that so that you can live not in the muck and you can live above that. You can live above that. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me. Thank you for transferring me into the kingdom of your light. Okay, I'm going to go a little faster here. Woo! Number four, here we go. You've been redeemed from the grip of lack. Everybody say, lack. Lack ain't good. Okay, and you've been redeemed to unfair favor. Unfair favor, all right? Galatians 3:14, and this is out of the ESV. It says, so that in Christ the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Everybody say blessings. Blessings are different than curse. Blessings are better, right? Blessings are better. And it says you've been redeemed so that Christ has redeemed you and made you the blessings of Abraham. Okay, blessings of Abraham. Go to Genesis. Just write this down. Go read the end of Genesis chapter 11. It's like the kickoff. And then Genesis chapter 2. And it talks about how God promised Abraham off the chart blessings. Off the chart. Off the chart. So I'm not going to tell you all the chart because you go read it. Okay, real good. So it says, the blessings of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles. Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Praise God. Anybody who's not Jewish is a Gentile. Okay, the blessings would come upon the Gentiles, me. Okay, the blessings will come on us. So the blessings, because of Christ, what he did on the cross, says you can have the blessings of Abraham. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the storehouse, blessed, okay? And a whole bunch more there, okay? Now, I'm going to say this. Don't hate me. I'm just telling you stuff here. Okay. If you're under poverty, I'm not mad at you. I don't think bad about you. God's not mad at you. He doesn't think bad about you. Okay. Because I had some poverty days. Okay. But if you're taking notes, if you're under poverty, you don't just lack. You don't just lack. You don't just lack. You're trapped in a cycle. You're trapped in a cycle. And you feel like you can't get out. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Have you ever gone to a third world country? Raise your hand if you've been to. Now, not the one that's the resort and you never leave the resort. Some of you have been to those countries, but you didn't get off the resort. Okay, anybody go to a third world country? Okay, yep, third world countries. Man, all right. But here's the good thing. You're blessed. You're blessed. And blessings mean just above. Okay, I'll save that for later. But blessings, you know, it's really interesting. I remember Sherry's just a little girl, and money was tight, and she outgrew her bike. You know, her knees are hitting. And I said, well, let's pray. Let's pray. And we prayed. And Joe Hoff's not here. Joe Hoff gave her Jesse's bike, all right? And that was the biggest blessing for Sherry. But you know what? As you get older, your blessings look different. I don't need a bike. I need a car, okay? Right? Okay. So the blessings change. There are different levels in your life, right? How many remember the first time you were just believing for what today you'd see a smidgen, but how you felt when the blessing came in? You're like, oh, man, cha-cha dance. God, you're so good, right? Okay, now the things that I you know, they're much bigger. Okay, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So what, I was trying to think of a definition of blessing. Blessings to me means I get more than I deserve. You get more than you deserve. So tell you all the story. Half of you already know this. Put my house on the market a week ago, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And actually, then I had the photographer come in. They had a drone in my backyard taking pictures. It's the coolest thing. Because I have an amazing view, and you might as well sell it, right? So until we got the pictures done, and we placed it on the market at Wednesday night at 8 p.m., Thursday morning, bing, bing, I had to put an app. They asked me to put an app on my phone. Oh, it's so easy. Took me a little bit. Okay, so I put this app on the phone, and they're signing up for all these showings. Bing, bing, bing. Thursday, I had 5 showings, maybe 6. Friday, I had 5 showings. Saturday, I had 4 showings. Sunday, I had 2 showings, and they canceled out. And what had happened is Saturday, my realtor called me, and she says, Dee, meet me in my office on Monday. We got some offers on the table. Like, amazing offers on the table. So they were, okay, can you all stay 5 minutes late? This is a fun story. Don't look at that clock. I saw you. Okay, so there's this guy behind me, and he was listing his house for blank, blank, blank. I'm not telling you, but you can go online and look it up. And but 3 months ago, we did a search of what the houses, the comps were in my area, and my house was only going to be listed like this. But that guy behind me listed his house like this. I said, his house ain't worth that much. And my realtor says, that's good for you. So I was like, well, let's just list it for this. And about a half hour later, she goes, shoo, no, let's list it for this. Okay, so it was still a little bit lower than this guy. I was like, what do you mean? Okay, so we list it. I go on Monday, and there are 2 bids. By the way, there is not a large inventory of houses in York County. They're getting better. So if you're going to go in and you want my house and you think you're going to ask $10,000 less, I want to go, dodo. Took those and put those in the trash. Didn't even, two people did that. I'm like, you have no clue what's going on in York County. So then there were 2 bids, and mine ended up by being $12,000 more than my top number that I listed. And I took it. To God be all the glory. I'm going to tell you, unfair favor. Now, I may have painted my house, it looks darn good, but it was God. And that's what I said. And my realtor's a Christian, and we are just like laughing and crying. God, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Unfair favor. Because really, are you kidding me? That price? But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lake. Thank you. I took it. Okay. That's my story. So I am moving to Dover. I am selling my house. Praise the Lord. Now you all know all my insides and outs. Here we go. Where are we? Blessings. Okay. Pray so. I get more than I deserve. Blessings mean I get more than I deserve. I knew that. I knew I got more than I deserved. That was a blessing. That's God. I am blessed like Abraham. Okay, you're all over it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is the Apostle Paul writing to churches, these churches, and it has to do about, he's giving them directions because they're going to take an offering. It's not the regular. They're going to take an offering. Okay, chapter 8 and 9 is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing about taking an offering. That's what it's about. Guess what offering means? Money. Not tomatoes. Money. All right? They're going to take up some money, a special offering. And yet, I have more people that come up to me and say, after they read that, well, you know, Pastor D, Paul was actually really talking about how Jesus was made spiritually poor so that we could be made spiritually rich. That is true, but that's not what those scriptures have to do. Everybody say the word money. Those scriptures that we're going to read have to do with money, okay? Praise the Lord, just thought I'd tell you that. All right. And by the way, Jesus wasn't made spiritually poor in those scriptures. Let me tell you, he was stripped of everything. All that he was, God, the Son of God and the Son of Man, he was stripped, depleted, was nothing. It was as bad as they get. But this doesn't have to do with money. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody smile. Still good. All right. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Praise the Lord. Where is that? 8:9. For you are recognizing more clearly, it's like lights open, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his astonishing kindness, his generosity, his gracious favor, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. It's talking about money, but I do want to put this little side note. Doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire tomorrow. If you win the lottery, maybe, but that's not what that scripture is talking about. Doesn't mean tomorrow, presto, okay? Now, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1, verses 2 and 3. This is another one. Paul said this. Ephesians 1, 2 and 3. Come on, Dee, turn the page. Grace to you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. He has blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Has. Everybody say has. Past tense. He already has. What's the next part? Blessed us. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And the Greek says supernatural blessing in the heavenly places. Okay. Christ has already blessed us. Praise the Lord. Now, in case you don't know, you live in one of the richest countries in the whole world. Now, there's some other ones, but this is one of the richest countries in the whole world, right? Just living here, you are already darn blessed, right? You're already darn blessed, wonderfully blessed. Don't say down blessed. Okay, now, so I asked who's been to a third world country, and we went to Haiti. We went to Haiti, and I walked in to just a couple of those homes, and they were half the size of my kitchen. And over here in the corner, they had this thingamajig. They called it a stove. And over here, in probably a room 10 by 10, 10 by 12, it's big. This is where they lived. They had mats on the floor where they slept. And the floor was made out of dirt. Okay. It's a third world country. Anybody been to some of those places? Yep. Pretty just, woo, all righty. So the interesting thing is you are going to go home today in a car. You're going to go home today to a house, right, with a roof on it, running water, hopefully AC, right? You're going to go home today and you're going, oh, what pair of shoes should I wear with this outfit? Should I wear the silver ones, one with a heel, one or not? You're going to go home today and you're like, oh my gosh, I've got so many clothes in my closet. I think I should clear them out and take them to the Salvation Army, right? Right? We live in one of the richest countries in the whole world. We do. Praise God. We do. We go. And yet, this is where I'm going. Some people struggle. Get ticked off with us because we believe that God gives blessings. I want to go, what? What do you mean? Yeah, not everybody likes this. Can you imagine? All right. Now, they say, well, God, and they just get ticked that God wants to bless people. Everybody say, God wants to bless me. God wants to bless everybody. Ready? Okay. So, and then they come up with me, well, Pastor D, why isn't he blessing other countries? Well, the crazy thing is, you take Jesus to any country. You take the full gospel to any people group, and it will transform their lives. Okay. A couple years back, gosh, it's been a while, there were these called the transformation videos. I might have, what's the big fat thing? It's not a CD. What came before the CDs? Yeah, I have a couple of those. You can have them, but anyway. They went into certain countries, South America, I forgot which one it was, and gave the gospel, told them that Jesus redeemed them, the love of God, that God wants to bless them. And in a certain amount of time, couple years, I don't know how many years, they had prosperity going. They showed pictures of growing these big whopping carrots like never before. Transformation, you can look it up, transformation videos, okay? Now, if you're here, I'm being sarcastic, and you just sort of feel like that God, you're against God blessing people. Go home and quit your job tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Quit your job. You know the job you work hard at? so you can make money that's evil, right? Go quit your job. And by the way, don't sign up for unemployment because, you know, you don't want to get any more money because, you know, you're having a hard time being blessed. Okay, I'm being sarcastic here. Praise God. All right. No, we're not going to do that because we believe in blessings, right? You believe in blessings. And we all work. We work hard at a job. And we believe that God came to bless us. And he will use your jobs. Praise God. Praise God. Turn over to Proverbs 13. No, just write it down. Proverbs 13:4. Lazy people. Everybody say lazy people. Lazy. Nobody around here. Lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard or diligently at their jobs will prosper. That's a parent scripture. You dish that out to your kids when you're little and they're schlepping. Those are one of those scriptures, okay? Now, do you know there's a whole bunch of scriptures in Proverbs that have to do with lazy people and God blessing diligent people? You didn't know that? Go read Proverbs. Just there's tons of them, okay? So people, like, they get bent out of shape because they, like, God, I can't believe God wants to bless everybody. Yes, he does. And then this is the next thing. They always go to Timothy, and they say, but money is the root of all evil. Anybody ever hear that? Money is the root of all evil. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:9. Pastor, how can you be up there talking about money? Don't you know money's the root of all evil? I'm like, you didn't read your Bible. I can tell. But I don't say that because I'm getting really good at not saying everything that comes out of my head. So, 1 Timothy 6:9. But those who are not financially ethical and crave to get rich with a compulsion, greedy longing for wealth, they fall into temptation. Okay, so wait. If I have a good heart towards money, I wanna use my money to see the kingdom of God grow. I wanna use my money to bless people. Then guess what? That's not me. I have a good heart, right? So don't this right? Alrighty. So that's not talking about us. It's talking about people with a wrong heart towards money. All right. So the rest of it, except for I don't know where. The rest of it. Okay, so those people fall in temptation and a trap and trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, leading to personal misery. Verse 10. For the love of money, that is the greedy desire for it and the willingness to gain it unethically, right, is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by doing all that stuff, longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Alrighty. So it's talking about people who have a wrong heart towards money. All right? I like money. I like to bless people with my money. I want more money so I can bless people. All righty? And I like to spend it on myself too, but I'll spend it on you. Okay, that's a good heart. All righty? And it's saying, if you have the wrong heart, and I have seen this, and it's so hard. I've seen people it starts real slow, that ended up with a wrong heart towards money, and they walk away from their faith. Faith meaning their walk with Jesus. Oh, they call on them when they need help, but they don't, all righty? So, okay. So what if you're a business person and you believe that God is prospering you to finance the kingdom of God, and you finance harvest the blessings because God has put it on your heart and you're this businessman, that's okay. Or what if you're not a business person and you're planted in this house and God has you work in a job, you work hard at a job and you know to give unto the Lord. What happens to us is I'm blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Because God will bless you when you understand money and how God wants your heart and how to give it. God will bless you. Everybody say, God bless you. Bless you. Now we say, if you're here today, no condemnation, and your finances are like down the toilet, I want to encourage you, they don't have to stay that way. They don't have to stay that way. They don't. And it'll get better. It doesn't have to stay that way. Alrighty? We've had some seasons where I'm like, who's having a fit? Well, our account's always down to 0.00. And then I learned some of these things, having the right hearts. Because therefore, I was not a giver. Because I kept saying, well, I don't have any money. And I remember this testimony a long time ago. It's Kenneth Copeland. By the way, Kenneth Copeland's part Indian. Do y'all know that? Look at those cheekbones, baby. Okay, and he was asked and to go into a reservation and speak the gospel, go in and have crusades and gospels. And he said when he was teaching on this, to have a good heart, to be a sower, seed time and harvest, how God multiplies your giving, not that we give to get, but God just blesses you. So when he first started, they take the offering and he said there was a bag of rocks. They didn't have any money, so they'd pick up rocks, just put it in, and they'd pick up the pencil, you know, when they back then we had pencils. They picked up the pencil and put them in. And he would come back year after year, preach the gospel, and he says, next thing I know, they're driving up in these big pickup trucks. Yeah, because the gospel is Jesus, and he blesses. If you understand right heart, he will bless you. Such a cool story. I heard that years and years and years, years ago. Okay, now, I'm going to give you one piece of advice. This is the mama thing. I learned this. Don't spend more than you have. Amen. Don't spend more than you have, okay? What? I thought I could spend. Nope. Don't spend more money than you have. I know this is just such a revelation. Write that down. If it's not for you, teach your kids, okay? So, God has redeemed us from lack. God has redeemed us to bless us. And why does he redeem us? To bless us. So we can bless the world. They can see the light of the gospel. You can help people. Okay? Last one. Lock the doors. Don't let anybody out of here. Okay? Ready? God has redeemed you from sickness and disease. And he's redeemed you to health, healing, and wholeness. Amen? Okay? Now, that doesn't mean stuff is not going to come and hit you. I've had stuff hit me, like I did the backflip down there, you know. But I've had some, I've had symptoms hit me, all right? But I will tell you, just because you've got some sickness or disease that's trying to stick on your body, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. I just want to punch people when they come up to you and they find out you've got this symptom going on. Well, what did you do wrong, Angie? I'm like, so dumb. Okay, be nice, Pastor D. Put your smile on, okay? All right, so. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you've got some symptoms, I just want to encourage you, you're not a bad person. Can I encourage you that there's hope in Jesus? Amen. There's hope in Jesus. And I don't care what the stinking devil's telling you. He's putting thoughts in your head. I'm going to die. This is going to get badder, worser, badder, and stuff like that. No. God has redeemed us from sickness, disease, and redeemed you to health, healing, and wholeness. Praise God. I'll give you a last scripture. It's Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus. He goes into the temple and he reads this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah." This is a little brassy. He comes walking in, right? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." It's talking about money this time, guys. And good news when you're poor is it'll set you free. You like being poor? No. Okay, so good news. Praise God. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, so you don't have to be poor. So, well, Pastor D, we have all sorts of poor people. Good. I am blessed to be a blessing to help others. That's the good news. I want blessings in my life so I can bless others. And there's tons of you that do this all the time, all right? The next part. "He sent me to announce release and pardon, a forgiveness to the captives." So today, if you're here and you need forgiveness, you just simply say, "Jesus, I need forgiveness. I ask you into my life so that I am forgiven." Praise God. Okay, then he says, "and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy." And I love verse 19. "I have come to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abounds greatly." Now, unless you understand Jewish Old Testament, in the Jewish Old Testament, well, the Old Testament is Jewish, sorry about that. You know that. They had this thing. On the 50th year, every 50th year, the trumpet would blow. And if you were a slave, if you had your property taken, you had finances taken, on the 50th year, the trumpet would blow. And that day that it would blow, you would be released. What would have been taken was given back. Woo! The 50th year. Okay, now that is so cool, but picture this. Jesus walks in that day and he says, "It's now. I am he. I've set you free now." Man, I could go on the floor and just weep. I'm telling you what. So he says, "I have released you. I have set you free from bondages, sickness, death, poverty." Closed up the book. That is redemption. That is what you have to understand. And every day life just tries to hit you with something opposite. But get this in your gut. Get the word hidden in your heart. And then everything that comes at you, you go, "Jesus said, I've redeemed you. It's done. Amen." Stand up. Change positions. I think you need to exercise your bottom end here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, we just come to you and we are thankful that you have redeemed us from the curse and to the blessings. We thank you that you have set at liberty me, the captives. We thank you that with the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. We thank you that we have incredible, outlandish favor because that is ours. So I don't know what's going on in your body, but if you've got some symptoms in your body, just raise your hand. I'm just going to pray right where you're at. Praise the Lord. Father, you see those hands. You know what's going on. And these hands say, "Jesus, I thank you that you have already released me. I thank you for the anointed one that is in these people that has set the captives free." And we command symptoms to leave. We thank you for the life of God, the power of God, the anointing of God that has set us free. And from this moment forth, we say, restored, strengthened, made whole. And if it's your finances, you just say, "I have been set free from lack and I have been released into the blessings of Abraham." Genesis chapter 12. Go read that. And I thank you that you're working in my finances. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God. Everybody say, "I'm the redeemed." Because the redeemed say so. You all have stories. So many of you, I know your lives. I know your lives. I know your lives. Tell people the goodness of God, the greatness of God. And they will have ears to hear and they will listen. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you. We're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Blessed going in, blessed going out. That's the blessings. Everything we set our hands to, we prosper. And we are lights to a dark world that need Jesus. Amen. I love you. It's a little bit late today, but it was good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. Praise God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so.